Look around. What do you see? Cars, lots of them. And guess what? They're probably on AutoTrader. Whether you're into timeless classics or the latest trends, did somebody say solar-powered, eco-friendly, vegan leather-wrapped, aromatherapy-scented, disco ball-equipped self-driving car? If you see it on the road, you can likely find it on AutoTrader. Big cars, small cars, blue cars, new cars and used cars, electric cars, and one day, maybe even flying cars. With millions of options to choose from, buying a car becomes a whole lot easier. See it, find it, Auto Trader.
Our daughter Jessie loves playing detective.
A clue.
But since we discovered she has sensitive skin, we've been playing detective too.
We thought the problem was our puppy.
But it was actually our old detergent.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So we switched to Tide Free and Gentle. Tide cleans better than the leading competitive free detergent, and it doesn't leave behind irritating residues.
Plus, Tide Free and Gentle has no dyes or perfumes, so it's gentle on her skin.
Case closed.
If it's got to be clean, it's got to be Tide Free and Gentle.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. Coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Much love and many thanks to everybody tuned in and locked in all over North America. Wherever you're at, whatever you're doing, I hope you're well. I hope you're safe. All of that good stuff. Me, I'm going to be hanging out with you for the next 4 hours. Consider yourselves lucky. This is when the show gets started every single weekday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. Super producer and host Ryan Hickey is coming to us live from New York City. And whether you're in New York, here in Atlanta with me, out west, over an ocean, over a border, thank you for tuning in. It's Friday. You can always listen on the free Odyssey app, your local Infinity Sports Network affiliate, SiriusXM. Channel 158. And if you got a smart speaker, you ask that speaker to play the Infinity Sports Network. What a Friday! J.J. McCarthy, the latest rookie quarterback to sign a deal. Will Levis is talking about taking the Titans on a playoff run. Caitlin Clark excited to play with Angel Reese in the WNBA All-Star Game. Kevin Durant, he's going to play basketball, is he? For Team USA, is his calf cooperating? Speaking of injuries, Tiger Woods' career just looks permanently hurt. I'm sorry. He's one of the greatest golfers of all time, but I mean, damn, bro, at what point do you give it up? Jerry Jones says, we will not give up the idea of an 18-game season. He says it is inevitable. Marcus Freeman, speaking of inevitable, he likes playoff expansion. Hopefully he doesn't like more playoff expansion. Notre Dame can't just get enough of anything. I know they can't. Jaguars can't get enough money. They're suing a guy who's going to prison for robbing them, which is absolutely hilarious to me. Lamar Jackson and Troy Aikman got a little bit of a beef when it comes down to the number 8, which is hilarious to me. And we have some great guests who are going to come through and join us. How about this? In 20 minutes from now, Matt Mershell is going to join us. Covers all things college football for the Orlando Sentinel. SEC Media Week is done. We had Big 12 Media Week last week. All this talk of expansion and fields being named after guys. Congratulations, Nick Saban. And there's so much to get into. Team switching conferences. We'll talk about it with Matt Mershell. He'll be here with us in about 20 minutes. Also, later on in the show, my main man, Emery Hunt, is going to come through and join us, courtesy of CBS Sports HQ and Football Game Plan. And so we got a lot to get into, a lot to discuss. If you want to be a part of the show, it's real easy. The phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. Much love to everybody listening on the free Odyssey app, your local affiliate, SiriusXM 158, a smart speaker, everybody at home, everybody at work, everybody on vacation, everybody on the road, people mowing their grass, smoking a cigar, getting ready for dinner, getting the money, moving them boxes, cleaning. I don't know what the hell you're doing. Yard work, bartending, back of the house, front of the house. I don't know. Thank you for tuning in. Super producer and host Ryan Hickey, how you doing, man? You good?
I'm good, JR. Doing well today, considering that thankfully I was not impacted by this massive outage impacted, you know, feel like half the country.
The planet.
The planet, you're right. Insane. The
planet. We need to go talk to Windows. Is that possible? Who do we talk to over there?
I think they're very busy right now. I don't know if they have any time to talk.
Is Steve Ballmer still involved? Can we get a hold of him? Like, get it together, man. Isn't that crazy? Just like software, everybody uses Windows for work for the most part. That's why Steve Ballmer's a billionaire. Yeah, man, that sucks. That sucks.
Did you have traveling today?
What? Yeah, I know a couple of people that are traveling. Yeah,
scheduled to at least. Yeah. I was like, that sucks. Imagine a nice vacation planned. Why can't you travel? Because of a stupid, an update that was faulty? Like,
right.
All the things to ruin your vacation, an update failing, I'm sure, was not on your bingo card.
It shows you how connected the world is and also how fragile the world is. For like one thing to take half the planet down, transportation and work and all these other. You didn't have to kick no computer to get things started today, did you? You didn't have to kick it physically?
No, thankfully. But I think a lot of people today, I'm sure, did that.
Yeah, kicking computers. Sometimes if you kick it hard enough, you'll work. It'll get back to working. It's just don't say that advice came from me. don't do that. I hear you, Hickey. I'm glad that we're here. When I woke up this morning, I said to myself, am I going to be able to go to work today? I thought about it. Did you think about that?
I did not. By the time I don't think we are ever off the air.
Okay, all right.
But I did see, you know, plenty of stations on the air. So I said, I guess we're going to go to work today. Not that, you know, I'm dreading it. I was like, damn it, I have to go to work today. But, you know.
Hey, Hickey, hey. I got problems. I was up at, I don't know what time it was. I was up at like 5-something in the morning.
Oh, right in the middle of it.
Yeah, I'm looking at the news and I'm going, what the hell is all of this? And I'm like, what is this? What is going on? I'm like, things are shut down, of course, throughout the day, people traveling and whatnot. Anyway, I'm glad that I'm here. I'm glad that I'm on the air. This is good. You want to talk to us? This is good. Try the phone number. Classic. It works. 855-212-4227. Let me get this out the way. We do a lot of talking, most people do a lot of talking about Caleb Williams. We talked about Caleb Williams a couple of days ago, signed his rookie contract with the Chicago Bears. This young man does not have an agent. Caleb Williams represents himself. Not too much wiggle room. I mean, the salaries have pretty much been slotted in the NFL since 2011. And Caleb Williams, really all you negotiate is, you know, signing bonus money and when you get the money. And so you can't argue too much about how much more you want because it's slotted. It's set already in the collective bargaining agreement. I haven't said that. We talked about C.J. Stroud yesterday because the Texans, they got some big expectations. And then they're also going to take on the Chicago Bears at the Hall of Fame game on August 1st. There's another rookie quarterback who signed his contract today. There's another rookie quarterback. Oh, yeah, by the way, he's not just a rookie quarterback. This is someone coming off the heels of a national championship at Michigan. J.J. McCarthy put pen to paper today and signed his rookie deal to play for the Minnesota Vikings, the same Minnesota Vikings that will be missing Kirk Cousins because he's down here in Atlanta looking over his shoulder at Michael Penix Jr. Meanwhile, up in Minneapolis, in St. Cloud, all the beautiful land of 1,000 lakes, J.J. McCarthy is now in camp. In a couple of days, he'll be there with Sam Darnold, who they brought in on a one-year, $10 million deal. Now, if you've watched the majority of Sam Darnold's career, he is throwing to the opposition more than he is throwing into the end zone. That is not what you want from a quarterback. And so Sam Darnold is doing nothing but keeping the seat warm for J.J. McCarthy, who was selected 10th overall by the Minnesota Vikings and signed his rookie deal 4 years, $21 million. This past season at Michigan on his way to a national championship, he threw 22 touchdowns to 4 interceptions. We did not see J.J. McCarthy throw that rock. He wasn't Caleb Williams out there. He's not Shedeur Sanders. It's not 40, 45 touchdowns and 4,000 yards. No, not for J.J. McCarthy. He had to hand the ball off. This man had to do what Harbaugh wanted. They didn't let him loose. But obviously, Kevin O'Connell thinks that he can do it. And I don't know, maybe Kevin O'Connell, a former quarterback himself in the NFL, can get something out of J.J. McCarthy. I mean, damn it, he has enough weapons, right? They got Aaron Jones over from the Packers, and he ain't the best weapon. I know about his 19 touchdowns a couple of seasons ago. They got Justin Jefferson. This man is the highest paid quarterback, wide receiver in the entire game, $35 million. You can continue going on down the list. Unfortunately, this man just got arrested, Jordan Addison. They got a tight end in T.J. Hockenson. J.J. McCarthy should have a smooth transition with all of these weapons. And you know what? Kevin O'Connell, who's a very nice guy, by the way, very nice guy. He was on KFAN, up in Minneapolis. And he said that J.J. McCarthy, so far, he's lived up to the hype.
J.J.'s been absolutely awesome. And going back to, you know, when you're drafting a quarterback, you got to be, you know, really all in. Everything he's been since he's been here as part of our team, since we were fortunate enough to draft him, has been that. And I'm really, really excited about where he's going to go. And my hope is, you know, he's a Minnesota Vikings quarterback for a really long time. And he's doing everything in his power. I'm sure he's going to have a great training camp. It's going to be competitive with him and Sam, and really looking forward to it.
Listen, I know who else wants him to take that job. Kwesi Adofo-Mensah, the general manager. Because, man, you don't necessarily get more than one quarterback. Like, if this doesn't work out, Kwesi Adofo-Mensah, he is getting the boot. You can't make a mistake like that. How long is it going to take to displace Sam Darnold? Well, how many interceptions is he going to throw? Think about Sam Darnold. Hickey, if Sam Darnold starts 3 games, what's his touchdown to interception ratio?
I actually think he could play well. I will say in 3 games, 7-3.
Oh, you're giving him a positive.
7 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. Wow. I think he can fit in well.
Because of the talent around him?
And the coach.
Okay. And Kevin O'Connell. Okay. All right. I don't think Sam Darnold is done seeing ghosts. I'll be generous. 3 games, you said 7-3? Wow.
7-3.
Wow, that is very optimistic. I will say 2-5.
Oof.
2-5. Yep.
Woof.
We will see J.J. McCarthy. I don't know.
Before October, I guess?
No,
that point?
Not November. November. Okay, November. We'll see him in November. The first time that Sam Darnold starts throwing the ball consecutively to the other team, where it's now unbearable, at that point we'll see J.J. McCarthy. And they're paying him a lot of money, all right? This man got $10 million, and I know it's a 1-year deal. Sam Darnold, every time he throws the ball, he's basically auditioning for his next franchise, because let's be real, J.J. McCarthy ain't sitting behind this dude. Sam Darnold would have to turn into, I don't know, he was behind Brock Purdy. He'd have to be like Geno Smith to keep this job. And so, yeah, it's going to be a quarterback competition. And you heard Kevin O'Connell, you know, talk a little bit about the competition between the two of them. This is what he said he needs to see from J.J. McCarthy to feel that he should be the starter.
As the play caller, and I have so much dialogue, you know, with these guys, mentally you'll kind of know at least when, you know, he's ready to kind of go out there and truly – take the reins and run with it. I think it's one of those things. Physically, it's not going to be much for J.J. just because he's very, very talented, has a really strong arm, he's been very accurate. He's really, you know, at this point just working through some techniques and fundamentals of the footwork and timing of kind of how we run our offense. So I think it's going to be a matter of really kind of consistency, putting some good days together, then getting some opportunities in the preseason game and really kind of showing where he's at.
Everybody wants to know, is he going to be a different quarterback than he was at Michigan? Did they kind of keep him all muzzled up because they just wanted to run the football? TJ Hockenson, God bless the guy, tore his ACL. Still one of the best wideouts in the game. Let's see how he can, help the guy out. Come through and be a security blanket. He was on the Bussin' It with the Boys podcast, and he said both J.J. McCarthy and Sam Darnold have played well. Listen to this.
He's a baller on the field, obviously. But, like, to have a guy, like, especially a rookie, you know, when you come into a facility, into the league, like, you usually need to shut your mouth and, like, go to work. And that's exactly what he did. Like, he's earned the respect of a lot of guys in there. Obviously, we have Sam Darnold, too, who is a baller and can play the game at a really high level. So it'll be interesting what happens with those two. But I'm excited that J.J.'s on our team and on our squad.
It's good for T.J. Hockenson for bigging up Sam Darnold. You can't big up J.J. McCarthy and crap on a guy who's now a veteran, even though he's been, at this point, a journeyman, failed project starting quarterback. We got to blame him and the Jets. I'm sorry. He's not that good. Let's see what he does, Hickey. We'll see. It's J.J. McCarthy. Congratulations signing your rookie contract. Minnesota Vikings, I think they'll be average this year. Just average. Sorry. Also added Dallas Turner. I don't think he signed his contract yet. Anyway, it's the JR Sportbrief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. You know what? We're going to talk more football and more basketball and more baseball. And, I mean, Shannon Sharp even said something today. He said football players are more athletic than basketball players. We'll talk about that later on in the show. We'll get into the WNBA. We'll talk some Olympic basketball and Major League Baseball rivalries. There's a lot to discuss on the other side of the break. It's Matt Mershell from the Orlando Sentinel. It's time for us to talk some college football. You're locked into the JR Sportbrief Show. We're just getting started on the Infinity Sports Network.
Look around. What do you see? Cars, lots of them. And guess what? They're probably on Auto Trader. Whether you're into timeless classics or the latest trends, did somebody say solar-powered, eco-friendly, vegan leather-wrapped, aromatherapy-scented, disco ball-equipped self-driving car? If you see it on the road, you can likely find it on Auto Trader. Big cars, small cars, blue cars, new cars and used cars, electric cars, and one day, maybe even flying cars. With millions of options to choose from, buying a car becomes a whole lot easier. See it, find it, Auto Trader.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. We got people tuned in, locked in, coast to coast. As we head into the weekend, man, as the weeks go by, we get closer and closer to the start of college football. Right now, you got to settle for that video game, or you can settle for some of the action and some of the quotes and sound bites that we've received over the course of some of the media days, whether it's the Big 12, the SEC, we got ACC coming up this week to discuss what the hell is going on as we await the start of the college football season. It's time to have a conversation with Matt Mershell, who covers all things college football locally down in Orlando, but then also nationally for the Sentinel. Matt, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing today?
I'm excellent. Thank you for taking the time to join us. I mean, I feel like we've had a good week of a lot of coaches speaking and talking from the Big 12 and the SEC. Any takeaways that you really have been drawn to so far?
I think takeaaways is just how the college football landscape just changed over the last, of the last year. Think about all the new teams that have made moves that we're going to get the chance to see in new conferences this year. You know, you look at Texas and Oklahoma going to the SEC. You look at, Arizona, Arizona State, Utah, Colorado going to the Big 12. I mean, a lot of teams are moving around. You're going to see Stanford and Cal, in the ACC. I mean, it's just kind of unbelievable how much college football landscape has changed and that these new teams are kind of coming in. And there's a lot of excitement for these for these schools, and a lot of excitement in the SEC to see what Texas can do and what Oklahoma can do. A lot of excitement in the Big 12 for their new newcomers as well. So it's going to be interesting, I think, once things finally kick off in September.
You know, Matt, there's so much attention that's paid to Texas and the Longhorns. Nick Saban had his old players responding to, you know, who he decided to pick in the SEC championship game. But talk to us about Oklahoma. What do you expect from Oklahoma now playing in the SEC?
Yeah, you know, I think they'll have a good start to things. I mean, again, I don't necessarily believe it's as big as a leap to go from the Big 12 to the SEC. Granted, there's a lot more talent, you know, when you look at the SEC and the teams you have at the top. You look at the Georgias, you know, you look at Tennessee, how Tennessee's played, Ole Miss. I think Oklahoma, though, understands exactly what it needs to do going into this, having played against the Texases, Oklahoma States, things like that. They got a new quarterback with Jackson Arnold coming in. I mean, he's a guy that really they expect to step up and replace Dillon Gabriel. Offensively, this team should probably look very similar to what it's done over the last couple of years. I think what will be interesting is how losing Jeff Levy, offensive coordinator, if they change up a lot of what they do schematically, if they go back to more of a pass game, or they run the ball a little bit more. I think their defense obviously is going to be a key for them. Defense has always been something that has ruled the roost when it came to the SEC, and I think that's something that they're going to have to do. But again, when you're a Brent Venables team led by a guy who has a long history of defense, I don't think that's something that Brent's got to worry about.
Matt Mershell is joining us from the Orlando Sentinel. You know, I'm still needing my brain adjusted. I feel like I also need to take a shower. When you talk about West Coast teams playing in the ACC, don't even get me started on the Big Ten. But when you talk about West Coast teams playing in the ACC, like, what the hell are we doing? I know where we're going and why, but what direction are we going in?
Well, I think that's the interesting part about some of this. You know, you mentioned the Big Ten, but, you know, the ACC, you know, adding these schools, which they felt like would give them a little more of expanded brand, maybe it helped them out a little more when it came to revenue when you're adding those kind of schools. I'm not sure if that does that. You know, I think it was easy for the Big Ten to say, okay, give us USC and UCLA and then throw in Oregon and Washington. You know, we'll make this a coast-to-coast conference. The ACC, not so much so. I mean, it's not like you're adding, so much of a brand that, and these teams are like, you know, at the top of the college football mountaintop right now. It's not the case. So to add those teams, I don't know what that's going to do. I think it's going to be interesting to see how some of the East Coast teams go across the country to play, you know, those West Coast teams, what sort of challenge that presents. I know SMU joining, you know, the ACC probably will be a huge help for them as well, considering the fact the ACC owes them no money. It's basically a great deal for the ACC. But the other two schools, I think it's going to be interesting. I don't know if necessarily they'll have an impact on the conference race, but more so that maybe it'll impact some of the other sports as well other than football.
But if we have multiple conferences, I don't even know if I should call it a Power Five. It's probably not going to be a Power Five in a bunch of years. But if we have multiple conferences that are playing coast to coast, and we've now eliminated rivalries and the importance of regions, and it is all in the sake of television revenue, at what point, just thinking from a business perspective, would we not have further consolidation or cooperation between the conferences? Like, what makes this different than, in the pros, or a National League, American League, an AFC, an NFC? Like, at what point don't we just have two?
Yeah, I think that's something that we could see down the road. You know, I talked to some coaches last week at the Big 12 Media Days, and they mentioned the fact that super conferences aren't that far away, they don't believe. You know, the idea of trying to get the best 64, 65 teams maybe in two different, you know, conferences, you know, playing against each other would be something that is very, you know, NFL-like. And they mentioned the fact that we're kind of heading down to the NFL model when it comes to college athletics, especially when you look at how much money is being generated, how you talk about media rights money that's being generated by the SEC and the Big Ten at this point. You're talking about there's a lot of interest in college football. It's not like it's going to go away. But maybe what it needs to happen, you know, for these super conferences to happen is, you know, they want to come in and find a way to create their own set of rules. You know, they'd love to break away from the NCAA. They'd love to be able to handle all the things that deal with the issues of, like, the transfer portal, NIL, what you're seeing with the house settlement situation. They want to be able to handle their own, their kind of own business. And that's kind of what's probably leading us down to that path of having an NFL-like league. And I'm not sure how the average college fan feels about that. You know, I mean, you mentioned we already have an NFL. You know, do we really need college football to be in that landscape? So that would be the only thing I think maybe would slow some things down if people said, listen, it's, we need to sit back and think about this. How can we make things equal, but also let's not get to the point where we're becoming just the NFL light.
And Matt Michelle is joining us from the Orlando Sentinel. You talk about having flexibility to do what you want and go where you want. Marcus Freeman in Notre Dame, he recently talked about the playoff expansion. What are your thoughts on where Notre Dame fits in all of this? And then the second part, what do you think about this 12-team expansion? It looks like give it a few years, that'll expand too. It'll take the juice out of the regular season.
Yeah, you know, I think for Notre Dame, you know, they understand that, you know, the way the deal is kind of structured right now, they're not going to be one of the top four teams that gets the bye. You know, that's just not going to happen for them when they all agreed to do this. They're probably going to be either the fifth team or worse going down. They don't, at the time, they said they don't feel like that's a big issue. And I'm not sure if I agree with that. I mean, I think at any point you want to be the best in the country. You want to be able to have opportunities. You want to be able to get that rest and get a bye. But I think for Notre Dame this year especially, I mean, I think they're probably going to be in the mix for the playoffs. I think when it comes down to the idea of, you know, 12 teams, I like a 12-team playoff. I think this is going to be really fun to watch. But you're right. In the future, if this has some success going forward, there's going to be a lot of talk of moving to 14. There's going to be talk of moving to 16. You know, if they want opportunity to make more money, the sport will try to do it. And that's why you make the money. And especially if you're a conference like the SEC or you're the Big Ten and you're looking around thinking, okay, we could get maybe four teams in a piece in the 12-team playoff. Maybe if we go to 14 or 16, we can add more. And then, you know, it changes everything. The conference championships matter if you get to 14 or 16. Right. Why have conference championship games? I mean, the only reason they would be doing it was be to make money. But otherwise, why do that? Why set yourself up to have a team, get your best team get knocked out of that, maybe those top four spots, and then find themselves having to host a game rather than maybe sitting, you know, waiting till the getting to the quarterfinals or the semifinals. So I think it might be inevitable. I'd like to see the 12-team kind of go for a little while, which I think it will. But, you know, I mean, again, any reason to make more money, I think you'll see college football leaders try to do that.
And Matt Michelle is here with us from the Orlando Sentinel. When you think about getting to the college football playoff, we know that you have to have a quarterback who can at least hold things down or drive you all the way there. We know Caleb Williams is gone and his team couldn't even make a bowl game last year. We know Quinn Ewers is coming back, Carson Beck. Jaden Daniels kind of came out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. Are there any other quarterbacks that you think we should pay attention to that don't get the attention of, say, a Carson Beck or Quinn Ewers?
Well, I think going into this year, I'm interested to see what Dylan Gabriel does at Oregon. You know, I mean, here's a guy who put up big numbers when he was at UCF. He put up big numbers when he was at Oklahoma. You know, now he goes to an Oregon team that, you know, has an opportunity, has a lot of playmakers around it. You know, has an opportunity maybe to put up some big numbers there as well. Has a defense now. I think that'll be able to help them out and do some things. So I think he's one that definitely you could see maybe put up some big numbers going in there. I think DJ Uiagalelei, who's at Florida State, you know, he came from Clemson, went to Oregon State, and now is at Florida State. I think they have an opportunity at Florida State, you know, to kind of take that chip off their shoulder from last year where, you know, they didn't get into the playoffs and they really took that hard. You know, maybe they can use that to kind of help push them out as well. You know, I think those are some teams maybe you could see some big news. Cam Rising is a guy, he's been banged up and hurt the last couple of years. If he can stay healthy and get on the field and play, I think he has an opportunity to put up some big numbers as well. I mean, Utah, again, is a team that, you know, has won some Pac-12 championships, but now moves into the Big 12, and maybe they can make some noise if he stays healthy.
DJ Uiagalelei, I feel like I've heard about this guy since like 25. What, is he 30 years old yet? Is he 30? Is he 30?
Yeah, it seems that way, doesn't it? There are a lot of guys now. Listen, I covered Dylan Gabriel when he was a freshman here at UCF, And I told him the other day on the phone, I said, I feel like you've been, it's been a lifetime since you were here.
Oh, my God. How long does everybody get a COVID? What is COVID, 1 year or three more years? What is it?
Yeah, the 1 year. I'd be glad when that kind of goes away. I think you're not going to see nearly as much. But I do think NIL has opened the door for a lot of these players to want to come back. You're going to get those fifth-year guys. You're going to get guys who want to come back because they have opportunities through NIL. And I think, especially if they feel like they're not going to maybe be a first-round pick, well, why not come back and make some money, you know? And I think you've seen that a lot over the last couple of years. I think even more so now with things that are going to happen with revenue sharing in the future.
Hey, Matt, it's certainly nice to have the options. Now that we have this expanded playoff, as we kind of roll through the next month into the start of the season, who are you expecting to kind of finish at the top? Well, what about my Bulldogs here? Help me, help me, help me.
Yeah, I think Georgia's going to be right there. I don't think Georgia's going to be very far from that top spot. I mean, I know they didn't get in last year, but I think they, you know, we talk about chips on the shoulder. I think they have one as well. And, you know, I don't think you can go against Kirby Smart. You know, you look at what they bring back. Carson Beck obviously is a huge return at quarterback. They bring in, you know, Florida, you know, running back Trevor Etienne. He's going to be a big help for them in the running game. They obviously are going to have a solid defense. I think Georgia's going to be there. I think Ohio State is going to be there as well. Again, very talented group. They did a great job of hitting the portal hard. They brought in Chip Kelly. He's going to be calling the plays. It'll be interesting to see maybe how they're going to be able to do that. I think you're going to see Texas as a team that's in there as well. Mm. They're going to be able to compete. Alabama will not be named at the top, but they'll be in the mix. Because, again, even though Nick Saban's not there, I think Kalen DeBoer is a good coach. I think he's not going to just come in and screw things up. I think there's going to be a chance for them to do some things as well. You know, and I think you're going to have some surprises. I mentioned Oregon before. I think Oregon will be in there. I think LSU obviously is a team that's going to try to make a push for that as well. And even Tennessee, you know, with Josh Heupel, you know, I think they've done a good job over the years. This is their chance to make a big push as well to get in that mix.
And not as a contender, but just out of human interest, what the hell you think happens with Colorado at the end of the season?
You know, I think Colorado gets better. I'm not necessarily sure that they're, like, playoff contender better. I mean, I think, obviously, Deion's done a good job early on. But, you know, I'm interested to see if his model of doing things. You know, he talks about, you know, hitting the portal and having to rebuild this roster through the portal and then trying to get some high school recruits. I think that's good. I think their schedule is going to be hard, the second half of the schedule. I think it's going to be tough for them. But I do think they will be better. And then we'll see what happens. You know, again, you're going to have to find a quarterback once, you know, once Shador leaves. You're going to have to find some other guys. You're going to lose a tremendous amount of talent to probably the NFL after this season. So this is kind of going to be a huge season for them. I'm not saying he's on a hot seat or anything like that, really stretch of the imagination. But I do feel like, you know, people are interested to see, can this team compete and contend with the system that he's putting in?
Deion going to hit the portal, too, straight to his couch at the end of the season, Matt. That's what I see, okay? Where can people? I'm sorry, Matt. His son is gonna leave. He'll hit the portal. He'll leave. He's gonna leave. We'll see. Well, I'll ask you. You know, beginning of the next year. Hey, Matt, where can people keep up with you and your great work, whether it's UCF or nationally with your Orlando Sentinel? Fill us in.
Yeah, they can go to OrlandoSentinel.com to check out the latest, or follow me on social media at OS Matt Michelle.
All right. Thank you so much. Enjoy your weekend, okay, Matt?
All right, thanks. You too. I appreciate it.
And no doubt about it. That Matt Michelle covers all things college football for the Orlando Sentinel. Did I tell a lie? I feel like myself, Hickey, and Marco Belletti talked about this last week. Look, Colorado will be it'll be okay, and Deion's son will leave, and Deion will go, I'm gone. I'm leaving. I'm sticking around here to do what? Rebuild what? I did that already.
Cowboys.
Oh, come on, Marco Belletti.
Telling you. It goes south with McCarthy. Cowboys. Deal with Shador.
Dallas Cowboys 12 games again, right?
You know what?
Yes. Say yes.
That's possible.
And then they lose to what NFC team? Pick one. Bucks this year? Bucks?
Anybody you want. Vikings? You want to take somebody that that doesn't belong there and goes into Dallas and beats them?
J.J. McCarthy, a newly signed quarterback for the Vikings?
Pick anybody. Pick the Cardinals. All of a sudden there's a rebirth in Arizona.
And then Jerry Jones doesn't take 7 days to figure out about his coach. He fires him right after the game, right?
And then they draft Shador.
Oh, my God. Come on now.
Let Dak walk. End of his contract. New era in Dallas.
There would be pitchforks. That's like you just wrote a graphic novel. Is that a graphic novel? Does that count? No, right? Not graphic enough, right?
Maybe not. But I do think that that's going to happen, and I think there's going to be a lot of Cowboy fans that, without the pitchforks, there's going to some that are going to convince themselves that's the way to go. That's the future. That's how it's going to get them over the top.
This sounds like a high school. You make the Dallas Cowboys sound like a high school football team run by high school students.
Is it not? That's what it feels like.
Guys, 82 years old.
It sounds, yeah, but it feels like they're running it from the high school cafeteria. That's what they're doing. And this, you can tell yourself that Deion is a two-time Super Bowl winner. And that is what's going to get them over the top, including winning a win in Dallas.
This is like LeBron and his son, but on the Cowboys.
But this is different. This is actually the coach and the best player, because they're going to convince themselves that Shedeur Sanders, who's got a hell of a lot of talent, is going to be the guy that takes them over the top.
Marco, this would be one hell of a story that happened. It'd be one hell of a story. I hope it does.
I'm telling you, I'm just writing it a little early. That's all. But it's, you can't see this thing coming to fruition.
Hickey, you see this happening? Come on, man. Hickey, you see this happening?
No, I don't.
I love it.
Jerry will not hire someone that takes the spotlight away from him.
Yes, he has.
And he's learned from that lesson. I said he will not.
No,
he
I don't
learned
buy that.
One time, said, you know what? I want the power. I want the spotlight on me. Deion would absolutely take it away. Bill Belichick would take it away. Both those guys, no chance being in Dallas.
Jerry Jones is a sinking ship by himself.
And if he wants to go down, he's going to go down with the spotlight on him. He's not going down in the dark.
I love the story.
I also don't think that it, no matter what, and Deion's going to take the spotlight, don't get me wrong, it's still Jerry Jones. Nah. Like, are we going to forget he's alive? I find that hard to believe.
They're going to talk. It'd have to be a lot of money. It will be, obviously.
Yeah, and he would also be the genius that took Deion Sanders from Colorado, took him and brought his son to be the quarterback at Dallas, that got them a ring.
I don't think Deion wants to coach a team and then have Jerry Jones doing, you know, radio interviews 3 days out the week. Like, can you see that happening?
Do you think Deion really cares? Deion Sanders strike you as the guy that's actually going to bother him?
Yeah, because he's going to say something stupid and he's going to have to answer questions from the media because it's stupid things that Jerry said.
Well,
because
Deion wants to say the stupid things himself? What's the difference?
Yes. Yeah, he wants. Yes, yeah. It's like two preachers. You can't have two people preaching at the same time. You got to pick one.
I don't know. The thing that Deion wouldn't like is the extra work. I don't know if the spotlight or nonsense that comes with it. I don't think that stuff bothers him.
He'll bring Pat Shurmur with him. Okay, problem solved.
That's not bad.
You do the offense. I'll show up on Sundays and figure it out. You've been here before.
Maybe get a little Rob Ryan to coach the defense. Bring him back.
Why not?
See, personalities. Shermer's not exactly a personality, but let's get personalities. That's what they need.
Wasn't Shurmur. Mike Zimmer with him in Jacksonville State?
Oh, my God.
Here we go.
And so he's already on the staff now. Thinking. So you don't have to fire the defensive coordinator. Thinking.
So what are you going to we going to put all these coaches in one room to curse each other out? Because this is what it sounds like.
What? They did that in Cleveland? Didn't they do a whole Hard Knocks on that? Didn't translate the wins, but
we need Hard Knocks again for the Cowboys if they bring all these personalities in.
Why not?
Hey, bring Parcells in as a consultant. I'm sure he's what is he in Florida doing nothing? Bring him in. Why not? Interesting. Let's see if your story comes true, Marco. We got months to see.
I'll be here.
I'll be here, too. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network, 855-212-4227. Speaking of getting to the playoffs, There's a quarterback. He's just getting his feet wet. He's had 1 year here. He is already set to turn. I'm going to tell you what quarterback this is. I don't know if he's talking too big for his britches, but we're going to find out.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
Hey, that's my guy, Ralph. I know Ralph. Hickey, it was Ralph's his birthday last week? Last week, right?
No, I think it was this week. This week has felt long at times. I think it was this week.
He went to Applebee's, I remember.
Right, got the... Hey, well, he declined the free ice cream for his birthday. Maybe the only person to do that.
Ah. Touche. There you go. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. He declined the ice cream?
I don't care how full you are. Free birthday ice cream. You got to say yes.
Yeah, he could have given it to somebody else in Applebee's. Like, what's the deal?
I thought you were going to say take it home.
Do what?
Take it home.
No, you can't take. Go home with a carton of milk?
Yeah, that's not making the trip home.
Yeah, that, what a waste. What a waste. Anyway, happy birthday. We can call it this birthday month, whatever day it was. You said it was Monday, right?
Sometime this week, I thought it was. So birthday week. Why the hell not? Birthday month, Ralph. Yeah, happy birthday to you.
Shout outs to Ralph in North Carolina. Good. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. You know, right before we went to break, and thank you to Marco Belletti for reminding us about how, I'm going to say awful or terrible the Cowboys are. But we've seen the Dallas Cowboys go multiple seasons here and just win 12 games. 12 after 12 after 12 after 12 after 12. And then when we get down to it, they choke. Marco Belletti seems to believe that when the Dallas Cowboys choke again this season, they're going to bring on Deion Sanders and draft Shador. It sounds like a well-hatched plan. Also sounds like a disaster, right? I mean, if you Jerry Jones has to be thinking, like, I'm not going to live forever. I got to keep things rolling as best as I can. If I got a choice of bringing in Deion Sanders or Bill Belichick, you got to go with Bill Belichick and leave Deion alone. And now if you bring in a rookie in Shador, like, you're pushing the clock. Hickey, how long is that pushing the clock back by? Like 4 years, you think? I don't know, 2 years? If he's good, if he's any good.
Right. If he's good, I would say at least 2 years.
2 years?
At least.
Look, we saw what C.J. Stroud just did this past season, right? You think about what C.J. Stroud did. That was 1 year just to get into the playoffs, and that was a shock. And then you think about this past season. This is going to be year number two. Ain't no guarantees that he does that. We got guys who, I mean, look, Trevor Lawrence just got his contract extended from his rookie contract. He now got his 55, 53, whatever million dollar deal. He ain't one worth a damn yet, okay? And this is now almost 4 or 5 years in. And so if I'm Jerry Jones, why am I bringing in a rookie quarterback when I'm looking at Dak, who was in the MVP conversation for last year? And so all of that is just very, very tricky. I'm staying the hell away from Shador. I'm staying away from Deion. Because this is going to do nothing but push the clock back. And if you happen to be Jerry Jones, you want to know one thing you don't have in life? Time. Unless he lives to be 120. He might. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm going to tell you what quarterback he's trying to hit the fast forward button. Get into that on the other side of the break. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, the Infinity Sports Network.